Hello, and welcome to Vanguard's Investment Commentary Podcast Series. I'm Julianne Mara. In this month's episode, which we're taping on March 18, 2015, we'll be exploring ways to improve the investment decision-making process. Joining me is Don Benioff, a senior analyst in Vanguard Investment Strategy Group. Don, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Julie.
So today, investors are faced with more choices and more information than ever before. There are thousands of mutual funds on the market, and the constant media clamor over the hottest performers and the latest market swings and economic headlines can be overwhelming. What would you say to investors who are trying to make sound investment decisions in this environment?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the first thing is that it's easy to be, you know, empathetic with their situation. We do live in an information age, and I think information overload in terms of the returns that we see, the marketing push that we see, that past returns matter, but can be very distracting. For most investors, I think they need to try and differentiate what type of information that they're getting from these sources, whether it's just interesting or if it's useful. To be useful in an investment sense, you have to be able to profit from it. And so it's hard to sort of feel like information that's distributed freely to everyone under the sun at the same time via the mass media is actually useful, because if everyone has it, who can really profit from it? Who can use it to give themselves an advantage? So the investment paparazzi is going to try and focus on making this information sensational or interesting or front and center, but it doesn't always make it useful. One of the real challenges is that we transport the processes we use as consumers, maybe when we're buying a car or choosing a college or a doctor. That's why services like the Consumer Reports are so important, because they can tell you if you buy that product, it's going to be almost identical to the product that they're commenting on. When you get into investing, the information is actually not as durable, which is why that disclaimer about past performance not being predictive of future returns is so important. The past may not necessarily be prologue for the future, which puts all of the things like the Morningstar surveys, the star ratings, past performance for individual funds, fund managers, individual securities. The past is not necessarily a mirror of what you can expect for the future.
So if the objective is to tune out some of that less useful information, what should investors focus on?
I think investors can rely on certain aspects that provide some more concrete information that is useful, things like the relationship of low cost and higher returns. If you're looking at the gross return of the fund less the expense ratio, you're left with a net return for fund investors. That really underscores why paying attention to cost in general really matters to your end return. Then there's certainly all the other aspects that you can control, your asset allocation, how diversified your portfolio is, and the like.
And John, just to take a moment to clarify, when we say investors, we're talking specifically about...
Oh, great question. We're talking about people. This challenge with trying to understand the difference between interesting and useful information, that is a people problem. Whether you're an individual investor trying to take care of your own investments, financial advisor trying to help clients, or an institutional investor maybe trying to help plan participants. All of these people have the same challenge in trying to figure out what information is most helpful to them.
Okay. So when you're looking over an entire portfolio, it's hard not to focus on the returns, and it can be tempting to want to quickly sell off the poor performers. What would you say to investors who are trying to guard against this impulse?
That's a real challenge. Because of the nature of the information we receive, the relative returns of the various holdings in our portfolio, say it's a portfolio of mutual funds and individual securities, you can see the better performers and the ones that aren't performing as well quite clearly. And there's always a temptation to sort of turn outperformers into good funds and underperformers into bad funds, for example, and try and decide that, well, maybe I don't want those poor performers. That actually is a challenge for everybody. We see that same challenge in the institutional environment as well, as they have to evaluate the managers they choose for their plans and to manage their money. The challenge is probably made more difficult because we can see the transparency of the relative returns. And there is an easy solution for that. For individual investors, we can simplify the portfolios using a single fund solution. Maybe a fund of funds gives you the asset allocation you need without actually giving you full access to go in and surgically remove the bad funds, so to speak. That can be an easy way, if you feel like you might be tempted to do that, to simplify things and to maybe put yourself at arm's length from that temptation to tinker with your portfolios.
So on the other hand, there are times when making a change in your portfolio is certainly appropriate. How can investors determine when that might be the case?
I think the easiest way is to figure out what reason do you have for changing the portfolio. Is it driven by the market and what's going on there, or is it actually driven by your own circumstance? And we would say that your portfolio should change because your circumstances require it. Maybe you're approaching retirement and you want to reevaluate your asset allocation, or maybe you've come into an inheritance. Maybe you can be more conservative than you might have otherwise been. Really anchoring on what's changed with your world to require a change to the portfolio. There is some maintenance that goes with it. You know, maybe rebalancing is certainly something that we want to do periodically that requires a modest change to the portfolio, but not a wholesale change. On the other hand, there might be some things that you could do to improve the characteristics of your portfolio. Maybe you're moving from one company plan to another, where maybe you have the ability to take some higher cost funds out of your portfolio and replace them with lower cost funds, or maybe improve the expected after-tax returns of your portfolio through better use of asset location strategies, that is the more tax-efficient application or construction of your asset allocation. All those things are examples that are specific to the client, but really have nothing to do with the market return per se.
So we talked previously about fund returns, but during periods of prolonged market volatility, entire portfolio balances can drop. What advice would you give to investors who are trying to navigate the stress of these ups and downs?
I think stress is a great word. It's a very emotional time. Whether you're in a bear market like we just went through with the global financial crisis, or you're in a period of protracted bull market returns like we're currently in at this point, you can be tempted to let emotions take over and result in you trying to change things because of it. I think one of the great tools that the investing world brings to the table is an investment plan, or the financial plan, that the individuals and advisors tend to emphasize when building their portfolios. And for people listening, if they don't have or if don't feel like they've put enough thought into a financial plan, it's a really good exercise to get into, because it can help you through these emotional times by providing an anchor, knowing that the financial plan is specific to your goals and aspirations and what you're trying to accomplish with investing. And know that it's specific to you and it's not about the market noise that might be going through at the time. So the financial plan is a great anchor to keep you from straying in bull and bear markets. The other aspect I think that investors have at their disposal is certainly asset allocation and diversification to help them manage the risks and still allow them to participate in long-run returns for the market. But some investors, they may be too tempted to change and may feel the need to get some help. It's certainly understandable. They may feel like an advisor could provide the emotional detachment they need, maybe the discipline they need to allow them to succeed as investors in creating wealth. So this is certainly one benefit that a third party like a financial advisor can bring to the table, particularly for investors that may feel like they could benefit from the coaching angle or the guidance or the experience or the discipline that somebody maybe a little bit at arm's length, maybe a little bit less emotionally attached to their portfolios can bring.
Absolutely. Don, we've had some really great insights today. Is there anything you'd like to finish up with?
I think I just want to reinforce this concept of understanding what you can control and what you can't. We've talked about some of those aspects, the importance of focusing on the costs and the asset allocation and the diversification and your choice of how much effort and time you've put into developing a financial plan that's specific to your circumstance, so that when really the emotions of the market take over, that you have something to provide you with the stability that you need to help see you through those tough patches, which we all know will happen. So I would like to continue to champion that point of controlling what you can control. It may be an old message, but it's as valid today as it's ever been.
An old one, but a good one.
Thanks, Julie.
Don, thanks so much for being here today. And thank you for joining us for this Vanguard Investment Commentary podcast. Be sure to check back with us each month for more insights on the markets and investing. Thanks for listening. All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. There is no guarantee that any particular asset allocation or mix of funds will meet your investment objectives or provide you with a given level of income. Diversification does not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. For more information on Vanguard funds and Vanguard ETF shares, visit advisors.vanguard.com or call 800-997-2798 to obtain a prospectus. Investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other important information are contained in the prospectus. Read and consider it carefully before investing. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Vanguard's written permission. Copyright 2015, The Vanguard Group Incorporated, all rights reserved. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.